My name is Alexis Clark. I'm 12 years old. Today's date is May 7, 2019, and I'm speaking with Fadi, who is my mom's friend. We are recording this interview in Novi, Michigan.
How was your life before the war started?
I was a 10-year-old child living a normal life, going to school, doing sports, enjoying the school year with my friends. We used to play sports. We used to go to the movies 2 or 3 times a week. We used to go for picnics and field trips at school. I enjoyed my time with my friends and family, just like any normal 10-year-old.
What school did you go to?
I went to a French school. The name was Lycée Français. It was located in the city in Beirut, Lebanon. And I was there until high school. And in high school, I moved to a different school. It was called International College.
Do you remember the exact day when the war started?
I sure do. I was I had come back from school that afternoon, and I was sitting home doing my homework. It was like early evening, and I started hearing gunshots and machine guns and rockets explode and mortars and explosions and it was like a war zone.
What happened next?
Well, at the time, we didn't know that this was going to be a full-fledged civil war that just broke out. You know, we thought it was just a little, skirmish or something happened, and maybe some of these, people that have some of the militias got into a fight with the police or something. But as it turned out, the next day we didn't go to school, obviously, because there was still some gunfire you can hear around the city in some area. So everybody stayed home the next day. My dad didn't go to work. And then we thought that it's going to stop. But then 1 day went by, 2 days went by, 3 days went by, and the fighting was actually getting, more and more spread around the city. And, it was starting to feel like dangerous. I mean, at the beginning, the fighting was a little far from where I lived, but we could hear it loud and clear because it's not a huge city. And but it was kind of far, so we could go out on the balcony or go down, in the street. I lived in a high rise in the city. We would go down in the street and just, talk to the neighbors and the friends and, see what's going on. But then the fighting continued, for days, and then it was weeks, and we were, staying home, not going to school, because it was too dangerous to go anywhere.
And then what? Did you go back to school?
After maybe a few days to a couple weeks, the fighting stopped for a little bit, and people attempted to start living a normal life. So we started going back to school, but it really did not feel safe anymore. You would walk around in the streets and you see people with guns and machine guns, and it just did not feel safe around the city. It felt like there was something much bigger going on than just a little skirmish, I mean, you would see people with arms and machine guns everywhere, and so... You could tell that this was something that was planned for a long time, And little, you know, one day after another, you could tell that there's something bigger, much bigger, that's happening in the city, in the country, and that it wasn't gonna stop there. Even though it was a little quiet after a couple weeks, and we tried to go back to school, but soon after that, you know, the fighting broke again, and the shelling, the bombing, and the, you know, started again in some areas. And whenever that happened, you never know where they're gonna bomb or where the fighting is gonna break, and it could be in the next block or around the corner. And so it didn't feel safe anymore. So even though we were going to school, but we were taking it one day at a time, and that's it. So I just wanted to add that, you know, the fighting was happening on and off, and so we would go to school for a few days and everybody would go back to work, but then, you know, when the fighting broke again, the school would close and we'd be back home, sitting home, and not be able, you know, not feel safe to go to school. And pretty soon after that, the fighting in the streets, you know, kept getting wider and widespread. And, you know, pretty soon they were fighting in almost every street in the city. And so when the fighting would break, there would be like bombing and using machine guns almost in every street. And most of the fighting used to happen at night, and they would stop fighting in the morning. And they would go to sleep in the morning. They would take a break and stop fighting during the day. And that used to give people a little break, you know, where you have to go to the store and buy some food and run back home and hide and, you know, find a safe place to hide.
Where did you go to take cover?
So, since we lived in a high rise, our apartment was on the fourth floor, and when the bombing and the shelling would start, it was very random bombing. So they would hit shells and rockets and, you know, almost everywhere. And many times, I mean, I don't think there's a single building in the city that didn't get hit. Most of the buildings around the city got hit. So even the building that I used to live in, it had some bomb hit it towards the top. Luckily, we lived on the fourth floor, so it wasn't too bad. But whenever the random shelling and bombing would start, you know, it felt so unsafe that the only place to hide was in the corridor between the apartments in front of the elevator, because the elevator shaft in a high rise is usually built out of cement. So it's kind of like the strongest part of the building. So everybody would come out of their apartment and we would sit right in front of the elevator, like where you got the stairwell and the elevator there. And, you know, everybody would come out, all the families with all their kids and their, you know, even their pets, you know, their dogs, their cats. Yeah, they bring them out, and we spent so many nights sleeping on the floor right in front of the elevator. And, you know, sometimes it felt so unsafe because in the apartment you have windows, glass everywhere around the apartment. So when you have rockets and bombs, you know, exploding so close, most of the time the glass would shatter. Even if the bomb didn't hit the building that you're in, You know, it was so loud, the building would shake and the glass would shatter. So it wasn't even safe to even go into the apartment. So we would hide in front of the elevator in the stairwell, and we would sleep right on the floor. My mom used to put a little mattress for us, and we would sleep on the mattress. And all the neighbors would do the same thing. That was kind of like the safest place in a building. So this is when we were at home. Many times we, you know, if we were somewhere visiting like my aunt or my uncle and the fighting starts, we wouldn't be able to make it home. That night, you know, we'd stayed wherever we were. We spent the night at my uncle's house, or because we couldn't even walk in the street to come home. And it's only like a 10-minute walk. So.
How did you get food and water during the war?
So, because of the war and the fighting, the bombs and the rockets and the gunfire damaged a lot of the electrical installations around the city. The wires would get, you know, cut and damaged. Some of the power plants got damaged from the shelling and bombing, and so they were rationing the power. We had like power maybe for 3-4 hours a day. You know, we used to have power 24 hours a day, just like here. But during the war, because, you know, the electrical systems got damaged, they used to give us like 3 hours a day worth of power, which was barely enough to use the pumps in the building to pump the water up, you know, so that people can get some water. So because there was no power most of the time, you know, no one was able to pump water from the wells up to the top of the building so that people could use the water. And so it was kind of, you know, we just had to get used to living like that. As far as getting food, like I said before, that they used to kind of slow the fighting down during the day. They would, you know, fight whenever the fights broke out. It was during the night. And in the morning, you know, people would run out and to get some bread and because there was no power and water, everything was being rationed, even the food, even the bread. People would stand in line for like 10 minutes to an hour to get a few loaves of bread and bring them back home so that their kids can eat. And so a lot of the foods or anything you need, were you couldn't even find it because, you know, they couldn't get it to the stores or so. And then, of course, the stores were charging double and triple the amount of money that it's worth because there wasn't enough. So because they couldn't get like the goods from the storage places or the warehouses, so they were running out. But anyway, it felt very unsafe to go out and try to get food. But my mom and even myself, I used to go to the bakery sometimes and stand in line to get some bread. And that's how we did it.
How did you go to school during the war?
Unfortunately, after this war started, you know, and people thought it was going to stop in a day or two or a week or two, and then it was going on for a month and two and three, and then soon it was a year, and then 1 year dragged another year. Unfortunately, the Civil War became like a way of life, and people got acclimated to it. So like the war would break out for sometimes a few days, and then it would stop for a few days. It may stop for a few weeks. You know, and people would go back to try to live a normal life. And but soon after that, the fighting would start again. And you never knew when the fighting would start. So if you were in an area and the fighting starts, I mean, a lot of people died because they were in the crossfire there at the wrong time in the wrong place. And so we just became acclimated to it. And I remember there was one year the fighting was so bad, the entire year we could not go to school. So we basically lost a full year of school. And it was so bad that my parents took us to the village, because we have a house at the village and a house at the city. We went to the village away from the city where most of the fighting was, and we spent that entire winter at the village for the first time ever, and we could not go to school for the whole year. So every child that went to school that year could not finish their school year. And every child had to repeat that year. I mean, yeah, I can't remember, it was like 1975 or 76, and almost every kid had to repeat that year because we lost the entire school year. We could not go to school, and because of the fighting. Then, you know, we graduated from high school, and, you know, I went into college. I went to the American University over there, and it was the same thing. I mean, we would go to college. I remember spending the night I went to the engineering school, and we had late classes, and I remember one time I was getting out of my class at about 8:30 at night, and the fighting broke in the streets, and I couldn't make it home. And the worst part is we didn't have phones back then. There were no cell phones, and again, every time the power would go out, the phones would go out. You know, they had the regular dial phone people had. There were no cell phones, so I would try, and then you have the pay phones too. So I would go to the payphone, try to call my mom or my dad, try to tell them that I can't make it home, and there were no phones. So can you imagine? I mean, I had to spend so many nights on campus, at college, just sleeping on the floor in the engineering department, the engineering school. And I couldn't even tell my parents that I'm still alive or I'm okay, or I couldn't even talk to them, and they didn't even know what happened to me. I mean, they were sitting home the next day when I went home. They thought that something happened to me, and I got home and they were crying, and because I didn't make it home that night. And I couldn't call them to let them know that I'm okay and I'm still at school here and I'm going to spend the night here because it's not safe. They were crying and they thought that I was gone. Something happened to me. So it was not fun. I remember days when we would have an exam, and we'd be sitting there and trying to concentrate on taking a test at the engineering school. And then we could hear all the bombing all the way around us. You know, can you imagine they're sitting trying to take a test while you're hearing bombs explode, you know, in close by? Or it was definitely not a normal way to grow up and go to school and go to college. It was very, very tough. We did not live a normal life after the war started. I remember one time I was playing basketball with a friend of mine that was in the last year of high school, and we were playing basketball at school, and a bomb fell very close to where we were. And I looked at my friend, and he had a piece of shrapnel hit him. I was I was so lucky nothing hit me because the bomb was so close by. But a piece of shrapnel from the bomb hit him in the shoulder, cut his shoulder open. And I looked at him and he was bleeding like crazy. And I had to run out and get some help for him and help him and call his parents. He lived very close to the school. And they came in and took him to the hospital and took care of his shoulder.
Did your family try to leave Lebanon while the war was going on?
Yes, after a few years of living this life, my dad decided that, he wanted to take us somewhere safe. So he brought the entire family, my mom and my sisters and my brother, over here to the United States, to Michigan, because my dad is a U.S. citizen and he has some two brothers who live here, my uncles. So he decided to, bring us here to try to see if we could live in Michigan, where it's nice and safe and go to school and have a normal life.
Did you go back to Lebanon?
Yes, I did go back, and we stayed here for like 3 months or so, and my dad decided that, maybe things are looking a little better there, and he decided, well, let's go back and see, maybe we could, stay there until we graduate from college and then come back here after we graduate from college. So, yes, we did go back.
What did your house look like when you went back to Lebanon?
Well, like I mentioned before, we had a house at the city and a house at the village. When we went back, our house at the city was still there intact, but unfortunately our house at the city was hit and it had burned down at the village. And it was a big house and it was all burnt down. So we had to, my dad had to, rebuild the house, from scratch almost. And we spent the next 2 years working on that.
How did you feel when you went back home?
I really didn't want to go back home. When we came to Michigan and I met my cousins and uncles and saw how beautiful it is to have a safe, normal life and not go, being worried that you're gonna be shot, just walking down the street or it felt so nice and safe, and I didn't want to go back. But my dad took us back, and I was not happy to go back because I knew the war was not going to be over anytime soon. And but we just got acclimated to it, like I said, and we were living one day at a time. And I stayed there until I graduated from college, and I came back here after I graduated from college because I love Michigan.
As we wrap things up, I have one more question. How did this affect you emotionally?
It actually, the war and living a tough life like that, it actually made me a stronger person. I don't take things for granted anymore. I appreciate things. I mean, the days where we didn't have food to eat because it was so dangerous to go out and buy food, where we had a little corner that we had to sleep. Everyone had to sleep on the floor because there was no safe place to sleep. The days where we barely had enough water, where we had to heat the water in a little pot so that we and mix it with with cold water so that we can take a shower with a little cup. And, you know, it just makes you appreciate and not take anything for granted, you know. It's so hard for a normal person to imagine when you go in the shower and just the very basic things, like you take a shower, you open that shower and you get all the water, hot, warm water coming down, you know, in the shower on you. And you compare that to having to take a shower with a little cup, you know, a little bit of it or going to bed hungry because you couldn't get food because it's not safe to go out and buy food. I think it made me appreciate things more. It made me a stronger person. What I missed out on, though, what I feel bad about is I did not have a normal childhood and teenage life growing up. This is how it affected me emotionally. I didn't do the things that a normal child or a teenager did, you know, growing up. I didn't live that, you know, the normal life where people have fun and go out and have picnics and have parties and you know, I missed out on a lot of that until I graduated from college and I came to Michigan and, you know, I started to live a normal life again. But that's kind of how I feel it affected me emotionally.
Thank you for listening.